Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and thank you today, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that you may quicken us in our mind, in our hearts, and even our bodies, Lord, that we may be full, filled, empowered by your Holy Spirit as we listen to your word. And that word, Lord, may work in us to quicken us, Lord, that we may be able to appropriate and receive everything that you have done for us, Lord. That we may be able, Lord, to take, Lord, what you have given us so that we come into the experience you want us to have. Lord, that we may not limit the Holy One of Israel to work in our lives and to give us the direction, the empowerment, everything that we need, Lord, for our life, Lord. We know, Lord, that this is your desire. And we know, Lord, that as we yield to our heart and our mind to you, you are going to produce it in us. You're going to make a difference. And you're going to give us victory in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the Holy Spirit, the helper, we need help. The world needs help. I mean, there was something that was needed. Jesus knew was that we needed help. Because, see, this is what he planned to do all along. And this was the promise of the Father from before. And so we need to realize that we need to have a connection with the Holy Spirit in such a way that we can receive the help that we need. It's that connection, that fellowship, that ability to hear and receive from Him makes all the difference. You know, like Yanggi Cho said, he is our senior helper or director or whatever. Okay, it's the one that is there to provide the input that we need when we need it, and we need to learn to listen and to receive the direction so that we are going to be successful. Now, we see so different things, you know. First of all, the fact that He's given to us, okay, and He's just available to anyone who believes in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is inside you, and He's inside you to stay. He's not just inside you just to nominally be there having a presence. It's there for some reason. It's there to produce a difference. It's there to contribute. It's there to help you. You see, whenever we need help, He is there. And that's the thing we had to come to realize, and that's the thing we had to come to be open to, because He's not going to help us if we don't ask for help. If we are not open to receive that help, He is not going to force Himself on us. This is why He's represented as a dove, He's gentle. And so He's just there wanting us to be open and to hear and to receive from Him. But we need to be asking Him, and we need essentially to be open to hear what He's saying to us. And so He, you know, when as He comes in us, He's not coming. You see, lots of people have a concept, an idea that is really not right about the Holy Spirit. You know, they think that He comes and goes. I mean, you know, when they talk about the anointing that comes and goes, what are they saying? That the Holy Spirit, you know, because they don't feel something is gone? See, the idea that this anointing comes and goes is a bondage that people put because of ideas coming from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, that's what he was doing because he could not be in them. Nobody could have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. He had to be coming on them. And when the job that was had to be done is done, he will leave. It doesn't work anymore that way. He's dwelling in you and he's not going to leave you. So if you feel him, if you feel the bumps or the excitement or nothing, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. He's inside there, and when you need him, he's there to help you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is important because it's going to make a difference in your ability to know what to do and how to act on the word. If you know that he's there, that he's not gone because you don't feel him at that moment, doesn't make any difference what you feel. It's not by feeling that we operate. We operate by the word. It's the word that doesn't change. Feeling change from one moment to another. I mean, you know how ridiculous, you know, two different people can be at the meeting and one says, oh my goodness, you know, did you feel the anointing? And the other didn't feel anything. Who was right? None of the two, because he's there anyway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he will dwell in you. See, John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The word there receive is lambano. You know, actually in Greek, which actually means the world cannot grasp on that, cannot take that, cannot take the Holy Spirit. Because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. You know, if you are born again, if you are a believer, you know him. Because he came inside you. Now you have to get acquainted by him. So sometimes that's the problem, that we do not understand the way he operates. For, you know, you know him because he dwells with you and will be in you. And then goes on saying verse 18, and he will not leave you orphan. I will come to you. So really the idea is that he is there all the time. See, the implication of that is that you don't need to go some places to find the Holy Spirit. It's inside you. Where you go, the Holy Spirit goes. Your presence brings the Holy Spirit if you let him out of you. You see, the problem is people are so unable to connect with him that they keep it inside and they keep it inactive. So he doesn't do anything, and it's like he's not there. I mean, if a person is there with you and never says anything and never do anything, you know, it's like he's not there. And for him to do something, you had to allow the Holy Spirit to communicate to you. You had to be open to him. Are you following me? You see, don't waste your time to try to explain certain things to the world about the Holy Spirit. Because it says it's right there. They cannot see him. They cannot know him. But you should know him. You see, you're talking a language they cannot get because they are not able to do that. They had to open up to the Spirit of God first to be able to get anywhere. Praise the Lord. And this is why, you know, try to convince people about accepting Jesus is a waste of time. The way Jesus did it is demonstrate the kingdom. You went around doing good and doing what God, the kingdom of God, saying the kingdom of God is here and there it is. You know, be here in Jesus' name. See, that one makes a difference. Now, they can reject it anyway, but that's their problem. It's not yours. They are going to be accountable for the decision they made. But your position is, you know, you can work through your mind and get nowhere. But when you, instead of doing what Jesus did, that's what makes a difference. That's what makes an impact to the people that are willing to listen. See, Paul said very clearly, okay, my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. This is 1 Corinthians 2:4. You know, I mean, evidently, he knew theologically everything that needed to be done, but he wasn't working that way. But said, not with the word of human wisdom, but by demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. See, some people say, well, you know, you just think looking about power and everything else. Well, that's what Jesus did. That's the way he operated. That's the way he ministered to people. And he told us that we had to do the same. That's where his word, maybe not what you get at the seminary, but that's what the word says. We had to learn to go to the Word of God to find out how to operate and how to minister today. Otherwise, we are going to be ineffective. We are going to be spreading a philosophy and not a relationship with the living God. See, that's the difference. It's God that is not a theory or somebody that is far away, is here, the Holy Spirit is right here to minister and to demonstrate the power of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So, you know, the implication of that, the implication that the Holy Spirit is inside you is immediate. You know, it's evident. If it's inside you, and if he can do anything, there is no anything that comes to you that you cannot handle. Did you ever see Jesus being at loss in a situation in which he was in? So the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus is in you. Why should you be in a loss in any situation? You should have the answer for anything. And the word says very clearly, but when you are in a situation, you have to find out what to do. And what is finding what to do? Have the wisdom to apply it to the situation you are in. And the word is very clear about what to do. Any man needs wisdom? Let him ask. Hallelujah. Who do you ask to? The Holy Spirit is there to quicken you and to empower you and to enable you to know the things to do but you have to ask. Not only you had to ask, but you had to ask in faith, because if you ask with a wavering mind, you know, you're not going to get anything. But after you ask and you got it, you better do something about it, because otherwise he's not going to waste his time anymore next time. Are you following me? He's a helper. He wants to help, but you had to give him a chance to help you. How do you give a chance to help? I need help. Help. Specifically, for a specific, but you know, not just help, says, help, you know, this desperate. Help, you know, what do I have to do here? What do I have to say here? What next that I have to do? Because he is not going to do it if you do nothing. You see, people expect God to do everything. when instead he has done it already. What he wants us to do now is to act on the word so that he can perform what needs to be performed, because he's the helper on the moment when we need him. Do you see the implications? And you can still sit there and without jumping up and down? I mean, that's what the word says. This is what the word says to us. This, you know, either we take the word or we don't. Okay, believe it or don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you are not a believer, you're an unbeliever. I mean, that's logic, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You know, we limit God all the time. And we have to act. You see, the way it works by faith. You see, first you have the faith that God is inside you. Second, you have the faith that he's listening to you. Third, you have the faith that you can ask him. So fourth, you have the faith that he's going to answer you. And finally, you have the faith to do what he told you to do. And then he can do it. You know, you pray for somebody and need to be healed. You are not healing them, but you are the healer. Because God needs you to pray for them. Otherwise, he's going to do nothing. See, that's why you need somebody to get somebody saved or what. You say nothing, they're not going to do it. You're going to see there are so many scriptures that you can see how the Holy Spirit works to bring life and freedom and conviction and other things in people, and works has to do it through you, not some fuzzy clouds coming around and doing it. See, one of the things, you know, as you start connecting with him, as you start asking, as you start opening, you know, this is all by faith. Nothing, you know, with God, there is nothing else that counts. The only way to please God is by faith. So unless you operate by faith, you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, you come there sweating and doing all the work and everything else, but, you know, faith means that faith is believing the word. So you have to have a word on which you act. And when you act on the word by faith, you're going to get the result, because the Holy Spirit is there to help you by producing the result. So he's going to teach you. You know, John 14:26 says, but the helper, he's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Will teach you. See, that's the way that you're going to start to learn. As you listen, you learn, because you are open to the direction that he gives you. So you learn from the interaction you have with him. I mean, people think that by going to church every Sunday, they're going to learn much. Well, I know people that have gone to church for 50 years and they're still baby Christians. They hardly can do anything. They even can quote scripture, but nothing works for them. That's not the way God wants it. See, unless you are dealing with not a religion, Christianity is not religion, it's the relationship with the living God. And the way the living God works today is through the Holy Spirit that's given to us and is inside us. And so we had to learn to connect inside there to be able to get anywhere. And he wants to get out of us. He doesn't stay there so that he's there in the bottle inside doing nothing, and there's no difference in the outside. If there is inside, he wants to come out. He wants to change things. He wants to change your behavior. He wants to change the way things you do. He wants to change the impact that you have on the world. So the helper is going to You know, let me go back here a moment. You know, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to in my name. You see, has to everything that you are going to do on that basis is because in Jesus' name. That means you have to agree with Jesus' position about everything you do. Otherwise, it's not in his name. The fact that you use the formula in Jesus' name means nothing. See, people give importance just to words when, they are not meant. The words that make a difference are the words that you mean. The words that you really believe in. That you are ready to stake yourself for that. And take a position. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Okay, in Jesus' name, I'll teach you all things, not just something. Anything you need to know, he'll teach you. You know, First Peter talks about, for all things for life and godliness. I mean, that covers everything, doesn't it? You know, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Okay, so that means, if you bring it to your remembrance, that means you've been exposed already. I mean, that means you did some homework before. You have to study and read the word, because if you don't study and read the word, it cannot bring to anything to remembrance to you. How can you remember something you never seen? So you have to be in the word. That's the part you do. That's your contribution, is to start the homework about reading the word and becoming familiar with the word deeply inside yourself. But doesn't stop there. Then it starts to have, that word has to be activated. You see, it's like the word is like a program that works in a computer. The computer is your brain. And the word is put there. But if you put the program in a computer and you don't push the button, it's just in the memory. It doesn't do anything. You have no output. So it has to be activated, has to be working. And to be working, you have to be working it. All right. So you have to be listening, bring to your remembrance, and it's going to work in a different way. You see, the thing is often, when Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses, this witnessing component, I'm not just about the witnessing that we go do to people, but the witness that the Holy Spirit has inside us. See, there are different aspects of the same thing, but they are really the same thing, really. Because always it boils down to the Holy Spirit witnessing to some spirit, either ours or somebody else, to do anything. You see, but to start with, as we learn, as we respond to that, see, what makes the difference is the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. And because we have the Holy Spirit, there is something inside us that God can use to quicken us. See, that, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, but it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, he said, sounds like you know all things. Do we know all things? Well, in a way we do, but in a way we don't. We know all things. That means, that inside our spirit they are there, but our mind hasn't caught up yet. In our bodies, even worse, sometimes. And this is not the only place it says. The following verse 27 says, "But the anointing which is in you have received from him abides in you, and do not need anyone to teach you." So, don't tell me anything because, I know everything. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that really, it's not the people that teach you that makes the difference. It's that the Holy Spirit anointing inside you is the one that does the teaching when you are exposed to somebody is coming and communicating in the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit within you witness to you that is the truth that you are hearing. that is the truth that you are receiving. That's why it's called before the spirit of truth, the way I've said before. It's the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. That's the way you're going to get the truth. It's by the witness in the Holy Spirit inside you. But you know, if you are not open, you got nothing. If you are not really willing, if you are not expecting to hear from him, if you are not willing for him to talk to you, if you are already think that you already know everything, you're going to get nothing. Hallelujah. See, continue in verse 27, but the anointing which is you have received from him abides in you. You do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as he taught you, you will abide in him. So you see, abiding in him is just that openness, that communion, that fellowship that you have with the Holy Spirit, in which the whole process takes place. So what that does? We have enough time. Yes, praise the Lord. You know, this witness inside us is the key for us to recognize the Holy Spirit talking to us. Now, there are different level of witnesses. Okay. John 15:26. See, the Holy Spirit says here, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. Again, you know, evidently the truth is a big component of that. This is the way you are going to discern the truth from the false. Okay, the Spirit of truth produced from the Father, he will testify of me. Okay, so that witness inside us, it shows us that when we hear something, it's coming from Jesus, it's from the Holy Spirit, it's from God himself, and we recognize that he's testifying. You have a witness inside. Yes, that's right. Maybe even it's contrary to everything you heard before, but you say, this is right. Or maybe you hear something that is, it feels funny inside. It doesn't jib with, just doesn't fit well. You know, it happened to me all the time. You know, I hear people talking and suddenly I say, that's something funny. You know, I cannot put my finger on, but I know something is funny. Then I go and I check it out. I mean, when something is funny, you don't take it and accept it. You go and check it out. And all the time, I found out that this person, for example, didn't check out the Greek word or didn't do the thing. So he took maybe the translation the way it was and interpreted the wrong way. It's the Spirit of truth that reveals the truth to us. All right. See, the thing is, that witness people get whenever they are exposed to something. There are going to be two responses to that. One response is accepting it, another response is rejecting it. Okay. The Spirit of truth should help us to reject the things that are wrong and to accept the things that are right. Okay. When we start trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the direction of the Holy Spirit, and we don't get that trust in a day, you'd get that trust because you see it over and over again manifesting itself and showing you the truth in situations. You see, this is where we trust something. We trust something when there is a record behind of all many situations in which actually it worked. You don't trust somebody because it says, well, you have to trust me. You know, when they say that, just run. Run, because evidently they try to sell you something that's not true. Okay? Praise the Lord. All right. So let me don't know if we're going to be able to do it today. Too bad. Next time. Okay. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send to you. You see, the fact that it is to our advantage, the fact that Jesus said, I better go because otherwise you don't get this. And this, you need that. You see, he's saying you need the Holy Spirit. But you know, the fact that you get the Holy Spirit is not enough. You have to connect with the Holy Spirit. You have to receive from the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, he's there, he's wasting his time. Okay? Jesus did not just forgive our sins. He changed us. So, there's something, you see, the sins were covered in the Old Testament by the atonement. Okay? In a way, they were forgiven. They were covered. But Jesus did something much more than that. He removed them from us, and the sins became his righteousness. That means then this vessel could be a recipient of the Holy Spirit, which was not possible in the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament could not receive the Holy Spirit inside. It was always on top of them. That's why it would go away, because it could not reside in them. Now it's residing in us. Our vessel is being transformed by the power of God so that we can be vessel for the Holy Spirit to dwell in all the time. If we feel him or not. See, we are different. We are not anymore like the world. We are vessels for the Holy Spirit. This earthen vessel are able to connect God and have him inside. Can you see how big the things that he did is? I mean, it's in front of our eyes, it's been always in front of our eyes. Do we really appreciate the potential that God has put inside us? You see, Jesus was never at a loss. We could be the same place if we learn to connect with the Holy Spirit. And we find solution, and he give us wisdom when we need him. And we know what to do because we ask, and we listen, and we act, and we learn to act on what he told us to do so that we can be used vessels unto honor. Hallelujah. I'm ready to rapture. No, not kidding. I mean, you know, you read this stuff before going to bed, you cannot sleep after. Honestly. Because there's so much that we have hardly scratched. When we said we should be getting into it, because this is the time in which it's starting to be manifested. You know, if you say something that I said today, maybe a few years ago, they said, you know, you are crazy, you are an heretic, you are you're something wrong with you. This is what the Word says. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, we don't have the time to the conviction part. That's big enough a topic. To start with for next week. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to do is to convict you. Okay. Now we have to see the meaning of the word. And we have to see how he's going to do it. And you know, I must make a confession. You know, there were some the scripture that is connected to that, I understood it before, but only up to a certain point. But yesterday, suddenly the light came on. And it's the part I was seeing before was only one little component. Now there is only a new component that comes to it that is so exciting and becomes so logical. Before it wasn't completely logical what the way they interpreted it. Because Jesus wasn't talking. You see, sometimes when we read the Bible, I can take a minute here. When you read the Bible, one of the things you have to see is those words, what are dealing with? Who, for example, Jesus said those things? Because if Jesus said those things to somebody, when you apply it to yourself, you may have to change things slightly because otherwise it doesn't make the same sense. Okay? And that scripture here that I'm going to give you, John 16, 18 and the following, 16, 8 and following. You know, Jesus was talking to his disciples. It applies to us, but he was talking to his disciples. And if you look at it from that point of view, it changes everything. I leave you with that for next week. you'll see that how much makes sense. You know, before, you know, to me there was some logic that was missing. Okay, now it's completely logical, so it's going to work out well. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything today?
Yes.
Praise God. Is the Lord, is the word good? See, the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, that's where we get everything that we need. That's what gets us going. That raised the dead.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's close them for today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we should make a confession. This is always, it's always good. You see, we confess, we believe with our heart and confess unto salvation. So this is the way we appropriate things. Amen? Praise God. So praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for us. Your word, give us power. Your word, give us the victory. Your Holy Spirit dwells in us to activate the word so that we can see it coming to pass and manifest it in our lives, to change our life, empower us to overcome any situation we are in. And we thank you that we have it in front of us. It's not far away. It's near us, even in our mouth. And so we can speak it and say it. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.